Money, 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 money. Alas, it's the long-awaited review of Money in the Bank here on Blah Blah Sports. Another wrestling episode. We're all done our draft, and I'm sure at one point Sean is going to absolutely tear all of our drafts apart.
Oh, I can do it now if you want.
And no, not yet, because we have to talk about a pay-per-view that happened over a week ago. Sean, you went to Vegas. Or no, you didn't go to Vegas. You went to L.A. How was Los Angeles? I know I'm completely out there. How was Los Angeles?
I gambled a lot. Lost a lot of money. Went to the strip. It was nice. A good time.
Those damn strippers and hookers.
Money in the Bank was in Vegas. Sean, you were in Los Angeles.
What? I was. This is news to me.
What?
Sean, okay, we're just going to move on. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
No, hold on. We can't move on because you didn't title me correctly.
Oh, that's right. Smith.
No.
I'm sorry. Blah Blah Sports Raw General Manager Sean Smith.
Well, you didn't have to put that part in there. But yes, the General Manager of Raw is me.
Mr. Your Excellence, or whatever we call you. How was Los Angeles?
It was fun. If you want a detailed recap of Los Angeles, check out Blah Blah, the recent Blah Blah podcast episode number 69. I think we talk about it for like 30 minutes, just all the random things that I saw in Los Angeles or Las Vegas, whichever you prefer.
Well, a lot did happen in Vegas a week ago, and now we'll get into that right here. Money in the Bank. At this point, a lot of us know the results of it, but we're going to talk about what we thought when we were watching it. So let's first talk about the pre-show. We'll go right into this. We'll talk about the pre-show. We had the Golden Truth and Breeze Dango with some weird backstage stuff happening there. And then, of course, the Lucha Dragons and the Dudleys. Sean, what was your opinion on the pre-show? I know you're a big Golden Truth
fan. Oh, I love
the
pre-show. Oh, my God. The Breeze Dango Golden Truth match I thought was amazing. And I'm being dead serious. I loved it. I loved the comedy in the match. It was really a match built around sunburn and peeling of the sunburn, and they just chopped each other. It was great. Like, this is if I'm looking for a comedy match on a pre-show, this is the perfect type of match. And honestly, to me, second best match of the night. Why are you laughing?
Really? Second best match of the night?
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. I was in more favor of the Truth Breeze Dango match because at least that had a story to it.
That's what I'm talking about.
The Dragons and Dudleys just kind of happened.
I don't care about that match.
Really didn't need to happen at all. But Steve, what did you think of the pre-show?
I agree with Sean. I was cracking the hell up during the Golden Truth Breeze Dango match. I thought that was so funny. I just liked how they really capitalized on the whole sunburn thing, and they made it look pretty. Like, I mean, the skin peeling was looking pretty shoddy, but I thought the redness of the sunburn was actually pretty well done, and I laughed. I really enjoyed, for a pre-show match, I really genuinely enjoyed myself, and it was a nice change of pace from just kind of like staring at the screen blankly like, oh, come on, let's go.
Yeah, it was better than any Dolph Ziggler-Baron Corbin match.
Oh,
yeah,
for the eighth time.
And as far as the Dudleys and the Lucha Dragons, it happened, and it's over.
Now, okay, so we talked a little bit about the Golden Truth Breeze Dango match, but do you think there was a purpose to the Dragons Dudleys match?
No, I think they just needed to fill time.
Yeah, just time filler.
You don't think they're building the Dragons up for as like another babyface
team?
Oh,
they're really building them up by not putting them on TV afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move to the main card. Let's talk about the disaster, a little bit of a cluster that was the Fatal 4-Way tag match. New Day. The Club, Enzo and Cass, Vaudevillains. There were a lot of botches in here.
There was a lot of material for next Botchamania. A lot of material.
Oh my God. From the roll up by Enzo, and then they went to go set up the Trouble in Paradise. That failed. And then what was it? There was another botch after that.
Now the worst botch in the match, other than the fact that the ref kept forgetting who the legal men were.
Oh my God.
Was when Luke Gallows is just standing there and he doesn't know what to do. And then Big E has his partner up on his shoulders and he just stands there for a solid like 5 seconds and does nothing.
That has to be a meme. It was just him like when your controller disconnects and you're just standing there. Like I was like, come on, what is he doing? What is this? But New Day retains their tag title. New Day retains their tag title in a match that probably they should have because of how awful it was. That's not the match you want them going out on.
He became Festus again real fast.
Oh my God, he became Festus real fast. Other than that, take away the botches, what would you grade this match?
I'd give it a C, maybe a C minus. It was just kind of it was sloppy. You know, there was some interesting things in there, especially towards the end when, you know, all hell broke loose, even though the referee couldn't handle it.
Well, that's the other thing we probably should talk about is that which magic? Aiden English got the pin or took the pin despite not being the legal man.
Honestly, I don't remember who the legal man was.
Yeah, I know it was. I don't know either, but I know that whoever got pinned wasn't the legal man.
I think Anderson was tagged in.
There were multiple times where the legal men weren't in the ring.
Oh, no. It was terrible. It was terrible. But what do you think could have fixed this? Do you think like maybe shortening it up a little bit or maybe not doing the four-way?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not opposed to the idea of doing this type of match. I think it works better, though, as an elimination as opposed to a one-fall.
Yeah.
That way you can, you know, get people out as you go. It's not just everyone all at once. I don't know. That's all I can think of. It clearly didn't work out, and I don't know if it was just nerves or the referee. I don't know. But there was just a lot of problems in that match.
Steve, any more comments? We'll move right along to the next match, which I have a lot to say about.
Nah, I got nothing to say about that. It was just a botchmania.
I'm telling you, Botchmania is going to get a lot of tape from it. I think they already have. All right, Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler part. Who cares?
I love Dolph Ziggler.
Darth Ziggler. okay, so here's what I have to say about this match before I let you guys go. There were some good things and there were some bad things about this match. Number one is that we didn't need to see it again. The bad things is we did not need to see this match again. This should have ended a while ago. A good thing is that this is probably the best match they've had. Out of all five of them, this is probably the best match, hands down, they've had. And I think Baron Corbin did a good job. I know it was slow. Probably shouldn't have gone 12 minutes. Probably should have gone more towards seven.
The best match they had was the one when Dolph came out and kicked him in the nuts.
No,
I think it was just a what? Did he kick him in the nuts, or was it just a he?
Nah, he kicked him. He kicked him.
He kicked him in balls.
He pulled an Undertaker.
I remember. Oh yeah, he put the helmet. I remember he put the helmet on. Yeah.
He put the ear protectors on.
You think that was the best one?
Yeah.
Yes,
I said it.
In terms of technicality, this wasn't bad. I think we saw a decent showing from Baron Corbin. I think Corbin did some good things in the match, like in terms of definitely saving Dolph Ziggler's life.
It shouldn't have been 12 minutes long, though.
It shouldn't have. That's my most glaring thing is that there were a lot of moments where it was like they weren't doing anything in the ring or Corbin was posing. And it's like, okay. They also played up too much, like, oh, he's a champion boxer. And I'm like, that works okay.
What else are they
going
to talk about? His weird stomach? His receding hairline?
The fact he was a failed NFL player?
There are so many memes of Baron Corbin's stomach. Oh, my God. I have, like, at least 12 of them on my phone.
Didn't you send me the one where his stomach is on the cover of 2K17?
Yep, I did. That's me.
I'd like to think that maybe we had a little bit of input on that, because I remember we, like, as soon as he came up, we immediately started shoving the MODOK stuff around, and I'd like to think that maybe that helped.
Actually, but, it's been a subculture for actually a little while. We just never really talked about it.
Baron Corbin's stomach.
Yeah, subculture. I think there was a Reddit subculture online.
I wouldn't be surprised. There's so much good material you can get out of it.
Oh, it's fantastic. There's a lot that needs to be done to Baron Corbin's appearance. But in terms of this match, they should have kind of quieted down on the boxing stuff, especially when his finisher has nothing to do with boxing. So it to me, that kind of like that just kind of throws everything off. And it's a match and happened. But again, we didn't need to see this.
This whole first hour of Money in the Bank was just,
yeah, it really up until the end, it was really just like, okay, come on.
We'll talk about this later, but I really felt like this entire card was just laid out wrong. Like they did an awful job of laying this card out. Then we get, okay, let's move on to Charlotte and Dana Brooke versus Natalya and Becky. This match should have gotten more time.
This match
should have gotten more time. If there was a match on this card that should have gotten more time, it's this one. That one, or maybe Style Cena or the main event. I don't know, but like I felt like this match lacked in content. Charlotte wasn't really involved as much. And then, of course, the ending. But we'll go with Steve on this one. Steve, unleash your wrath.
This was just bad. This was just not good. Sean, I'm failing to remember whether it was Raw or whether it was... I think it might have been Raw when Dana Brooke couldn't quite get Charlotte's foot on the rope.
Yeah, it was the title match against Paige.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I was confusing those two for a second, so I didn't want to go off on that, which I could, my God, but I won't. that match was just terrible. And the ending with Natalya and Becky, I was just like, so pretty much Becky should just be alone for forever because no one, like, everyone beats her up.
Yeah, she's like the new Kane. Like, everyone turns on her.
New Sting.
No, seriously, come on.
And Sting, too. Yeah, new Sting.
Steve, hold on.
I'm here. I was leaning.
Where's Steve going?
I'm here. I was trying to like scoot over and I fell.
Well, Steve, if it makes you feel any better, I did see they're doing a Hawaiian beach photo shoot with Becky Lynch earlier.
Oh, good.
Oh, I do love me some Becky in a bikini, but Sean, before you go, Becky Lynch right now is Sting level dumb. Where it's like
she's not dumb.
She befriends people.
Oh, she's not like Sting.
Well, no, she's
where,
not dumb. But I'm saying like
no, no,
it's like it's like no, it's in the no, point no, where it's no. like your character is Sting.
No, no,
and
no,
it's
no,
just
no.
Friend
no.
gets
you,
hurt.
No,
friend
you
gets
said
hurt.
Sting level dumb, and Sting was dumb. I'll give you that.
Kate Sider verbatim said Sting level dumb.
Well, don't repeat them if it's. But the whole point is, Sting was dumb because Ric Flair literally said to his face, I'm going to turn on you. And he still tagged with him. And guess what happened? He turned on him.
Turned on him.
Becky, she's just had bad pick of friends. That's it. It's not like the friends.
Awful friends.
It's not like Paige or Charlotte or Natalya said to her beforehand, like, I'm going to turn on you. Or even did anything to, you know, offend her partner. She literally was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. And that's it.
She's just unlucky, yeah. Becky.
She's not dumb, though, Benny. She's not dumb.
No.
It's the unluck of the Irish.
Sting
yes,
is dumb. Remember that. Sting is
yes,
dumb.
Sting is dumb. I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to make their Becky right now is the probably the most natural baby face in the women's division. Sasha, obviously, she's babyface, but when you think of a natural babyface, you think of Sami Zayn. And that's what they're trying to do with Becky Lynch, which I'm fine with, by the way, especially if this leads down the road to maybe a mixed tag match with Sami Zayn and Becky Owens and Natalya.
That's
just
really
saying.
Random.
I know it's random. I know it's random. Maybe that happens. But as like a way to something different between like the Zayn and just seeing
Becky,
a Zayn.
Becky, she can play heel as well. It's not like she's.
She can.
It's not like
she
she's
can.
You know Steamboat where it's like he can only be babyface. You know she.
No
she,
no 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 no.
She's played heel before. She can do it.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying right now the character that they're on with Becky is very natural babyface, and it's working right now. And plus, they need her as a babyface in that division. But the match overall, I felt just lacked in everything. It just didn't have a lot of pop to it. I guess you could say there wasn't a lot like there that would make me go, "Oh, let's watch that match again."
Well, it's also a match that you would normally see on Raw every week.
Yeah.
Other than the turn at the end, there was literally nothing special about it.
Yeah. Any more input, or do we want to move on to the next blah match?
Why, Natty? Why?
I was genuinely surprised they turned Natty. I was like, I mean, okay, I guess. I don't see what you're going to gain from this. I mean, you're going to get a feud with Natalya and Becky, obviously, but it's like, why do we need that? I don't get it.
I'm against it just because Natty's just not a good promo, and she's not going to be able to cut heel promos.
No, she won't.
And she can barely talk when she's like on commentary, which kind of limits her as to what you're going to be able to do with her in these next couple of weeks. But I do want to just say, I called this.
I remember you also called Becky stupid.
I did, but I did call this match, and I did call the heel turn. I said there's a possibility that Natty turns heel. Just saying that. Anyway, let's move to Apollo Crews and Sheamus, a match that once again.
I legitimately forgot about this match.
I think just about everyone else did as well.
I thought you were going to start talking about AJ and Cena.
No, because we are responsible for talking about every single match that we possibly can.
Remind me who won. Crews,
Apollo Crews did. I think roll up was it, or it was a cheap victory. I think
a cheap victory. He's a babyface. How is that possible?
Steve, wasn't it? It was like, what was it? It wasn't a clean victory. It was like a roll up, funky roll up thing.
Well, roll up can be a clean victory.
During this match, I went to make nachos.
Oh shit! So none of us know.
And Apollo Crews had won. I was not invested in this at all. I watched like the highlights of it, and I was like, "Cool." Watching nachos made in my microwave was more entertaining. Watching the cheese melt and everything like come together was way more entertaining.
And it's a shame because Apollo Crews is a good worker, and Sheamus isn't a bad worker. But it's just there's no story here. There's no real story. It's just
Apollo cannot talk. Like he cannot talk.
No, he can't. You're right. So this match should have gone. Definitely not 8 minutes, especially this match went longer than the women's tag match. Just want to put that out there. This match shouldn't have lasted as long. Really, this match probably shouldn't even have been on the main card. You could have just put this on the pre-show. That would have been fine.
It was originally.
It was originally, and they were like, oh, we gotta move it to the main card.
There.
Well, like,
I would have rather had Golden Truth and Breeze Dango on that in their spot than where they were on the pre-show.
This is another match where I sit here and I question the decision to put it where it was. Like this is a pee break match. Let's be real. This is a piss break match.
This
should have gone between Styles and Cena, and Styles and Cena should have gone earlier in the card.
I heard that they specifically did this and they made the show longer because the game 7 of the NBA Finals was the same night, and they wanted to at least for the main event make sure that it wasn't in competition with game 7. But it's a streaming service. Why should that matter?
You know?
I don't get it.
People are gonna if they can't watch it, they'll just go back and watch it later. Like it's not like people are watching it on live TV.
They're not pulling rating. Like I mean, I guess like if people still buy it, the buy rates. But
no, if you're subscribed already, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many people are watching it. You're still subscribed.
I understand that, but like I wonder for the people that aren't subscribed, maybe they were hoping to get some buys. But at that point, again, like the majority of people that watch wrestling have subscribed to the WWE Network.
No, that's not true. I mean, the people
that are going to watch this are probably going to be subscribed to the WWE Network.
Not necessarily. I mean, what are they pulling? Like what? Over 3 million viewers a week? They got what? 1.5 worldwide subscribers? So no, that's not true. Not everyone's on the network.
Sean, we actually discussed this at your house about how many people still buy the pay-per-views like through the cable box.
Last year's SummerSlam did like 70,000 buys.
Really?
Yeah, and it's only Comcast that has the pay-per-views now because DirecTV and all of them decided to let them go.
Not even Verizon has it?
No, it's only Comcast. Really?
So, do you know how much this year's WrestleMania got? Or are they still counting that?
I don't know. I don't remember. If I did see it, I don't remember.
Speaking of don't remember, I don't remember the Apollo Crews Sheamus match. Anyway,
who won
what I do remember...
That's over.
What I do remember is a instant classic that is going to be Cena versus Styles. Now, in ring, this kind of was more of a... I think we're going to see a better match between these two.
But I thought you said it was a classic.
It is a classic because of the fans. Did you hear just the first 5 to 7 minutes was just, they didn't really do much in the ring. the fans were just so into this match, and I think that's what is going to make this match a classic, is the fans were in on this match. The ending, I didn't agree with the ending. I think maybe just have Styles go over Cena clean.
Did you freak out as bad as JBL did?
For no reason.
No. No, I just...
Oh, my God!
I guess my reaction was more of like, come on, just give it to the guy already. Like, come on.
I mean, he is this a heel, is enough, though. Isn't,
I understand he's a heel, and I understand you have to protect baby faces. I get it. But at the same time, it's like, this is John freaking Cena we're talking about. Like, if Cena takes a loss, we're not going to immediately assume, oh, my God, he can't do this anymore. He's not good. We're just going to say, this was a long time coming for Styles, which I hope we're getting that payoff. And I hope we don't see them at Battleground one-on-one.
Well, they will be.
I know more than likely they will be, but I hope they find a way to audible into a tag match.
Tag?
Because I want to see...
Who's Cena's partner is going to be?
The Usos.
The Usos? Oh, no.
They can't do that to John Cena.
And also, the Usos were killed by the club. Why would anyone want to see them go up against them again?
Or
absolutely demolished.
You could go with New Day.
Well, they're already involved with the Wyatts.
They're with the Wyatts, but maybe... Just saying, maybe you don't have the title match here. You have it at SummerSlam.
But they're building a feud with the Wyatts. It's clear as day.
I know.
You're not going to take them away from that.
Maybe you just do a singles match between Bray and Xavier?
What? Ew.
No?
Ew.
You wouldn't want to see that?
No.
I don't know, because I'm trying to think of a way to negotiate around.
It's pointless, Benny. They're having a one-on-one match. It's done. It's going to happen.
not one-on-one. They're having the tag match. But
no, they're not. They're going to have...
Well, I'm talking the New Day. Styles and Cena, I mean, I don't... Because I want to see them on a big stage do a one-on-one match. And I think we're going to get that at SummerSlam,
maybe.
But in between, I don't want to see... Like, a Battleground is not the place to do this.
Well, Battleground's the place where they're doing the Shield triple threat, and that's bigger than both those matches.
But that bothers me as well.
This whole Cena AJ thing is going to be a three match saga. It's going to be the same as always.
Did you say always or Owens?
I said it's going to probably be the same as both. But
okay.
Yeah.
Sean, what did you think of the match?
I'm of the minority. I thought the match was just okay. And nothing against John Cena. He has gotten better as a worker, but he's still clumsy as hell in the ring. And someone with like AJ who's quick enough can exploit that, and he kind of did at times. There were some botches in there, too.
Also, I would just like to point out, Cena, stop calling your spots when the camera's in your face.
Oh, it was the whole match.
I saw every spot John Cena called. He's like, he waited till the camera was right there.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was so bad. He called, like, I'm not even exaggerating. Every single spot that he called, his mouth was like directly in front of the camera.
And it wasn't loud, even like he too.
And it wasn't even like he tried to roll over and talk to AJ. He'd be laying on his back and like tilt his head and be like, go for the top turnbuckle like superplex, and be like, okay, now that's gonna happen now.
Yeah. Hey, that was a big problem.
That really frustrated me. That's like that, because I'm in agreement with you, Sean. The match was okay. I mean, the crowd was really into it, which is cool, but just the really loud spot calling and Cena's clumsiness, it really took it away. It really took away from it for me.
Like I said, what's going to make this match rewatchable is the crowd. Like, if there's anything to take away from this, is that the crowd obviously really wanted to see this.
The crowd was hot, but I wouldn't say it was like Rock Hogan level. You know, I wouldn't say it was like to an extent where it made me remember, you know.
I think that maybe it would have been if this was SummerSlam and there was a little bit more build up for Styles and there was maybe a match for Cena before, but I you're right. This isn't going to be Rock Hogan level, but it's up there. I mean, this is a little bit of fan service. Hopefully Styles wins, but this was a little bit of fan service.
Oh, no, Cena's going back to back.
Cena's going to go back to back. It's Owens. It's Owens again.
I hope we can find Styles can find a way. Anyway, Ambrose. We're going to go to the ladder match. Ambrose, Alberto Del Rio, Chris Jericho, Cesaro, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn in the Money in the Bank match. I thought this was a good ladder match. You had six really good workers in there. There was a very good story, and I love the fact that the story kind of revolved, served as a junction for these stories. I also like the Erector set towards the end, where it was like they put a ladder on next to another ladder, and they had the other two ladders there, and there was another ladder. It was crazy. It was kind of weird, but I liked it. Sean, what'd you think?
Oh, I thought it was great. Honestly, I thought it was the best match of the night. As far as Money in the Bank matches go, it was definitely up there with all time Money in the Bank matches. It was also really brutal too. Like the spot that Owens took, the Owens spine spot.
It was a Michinoku driver on the edge of the damn.
No, Steve, it was a Blue Thunder Bomb.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot. Michael Cole, everything's Blue Thunder Bomb.
Yeah, exactly. And everything is a pedigree as well.
That's true, yeah. Especially when Dean Ambrose does it, because, you know, his finisher is a pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
I thought at that point that Kevin Owens was dead. I was like, oh my God, how do you take that?
I couldn't have felt good.
Yeah, between that and the over-under suplex at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Ugh. The springboard uppercut from Cesaro was really cool too. But the storytelling of the match I thought was just great. Like they told a great story. Also, I thought Del Rio almost died towards the end.
Oh my God, when he went to jump on the top rope. Good God.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Has he returned yet? I don't think he's returned yet.
I don't think so. Has he?
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, he was back. He was on Raw.
Oh, what'd he do? I don't remember.
I knew they were giving him.
He turned on Sheamus. That's what he did.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right.
And also, he's on SmackDown tonight in a Fatal 4-Way.
Oh, I didn't even read the results. What happened?
I don't know what happened, but I'm pretty sure it's a 4-Way.
It's for the number one contender for the United States.
Yeah, Fatal 4-Way for the United States Championship.
I don't want to spoil it for you, but
Titus wins, right?
Someone very super is going to win. Anyway, I just want to say that Kevin Owens deserves right now to be put into the WWE title picture after taking not just one brutal spot in this match. He took like three, even at the end, where like he was up there and they put him right through the other ladder. Like, oh man, that man deserves the Superstar of the Year award. But Steve, what was your opinion on the ladder match?
I absolutely loved it. It was my favorite match of the night, and I loved the whole thing. I read a lot of people online were really not a huge fan of the whole Erector set thing with the ladders. I thought that was great.
They do that in every
really,
one,
like,
though.
Yeah, I like when they do that because it works well in it, and it's like there's good there's a good availability for spots, I guess, because there's a lot of stuff you can do with it. But I liked it. I thought it was cool. It was a really good match.
I was gonna say usually people what they'll say is like, oh well, how realistic is it for them to set up all these ladders and weird shapes and everything? And my response is, they're setting them up like that so that they can all get up there at the same time to have a chance to go get the briefcase. Like,
it makes sense to me.
Like when they put the ones that are horizontal, it's just so that they can either get up quicker on the ladder or stand there and reach for it as well.
I will say there is a botch-worthy moment when Del Rio's trying to set the one ladder up, and then Sami Zayn goes over and like helps him out. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't notice that.
You didn't catch that? It's when he's trying to lay the ladder from the turnbuckle to the ladder that's standing in the middle, and it keeps falling. And then you see Sami Zayn really quick like hold the other ladder as Del Rio's trying to put it into one of the rungs. It's actually kind of funny. Final comment on this is that WWE, that's how you do a Money in the Bank ladder match. I don't know if I'd call it the best one ever, but it's definitely up there. Moving on to
match. You didn't say who won.
I said Dean Ambrose, didn't I? Oh, Dean Ambrose won the ladder match. Sorry. I thought I started out with Dean.
Dean Ambrose, a proud member of the Raw roster.
Yes. Yeah. Especially my Raw roster as well. Moving on to Rusev and Titus O'Neil for the U.S. Championship. This is a match that...
For the worst child kiss ever.
Oh, my... Okay, we'll talk about that in a second. But this is a match I thought that should have gone where Baron Corbin and Ziggler were, and then Ziggler should have gone between Cena and Styles, and this is where I would have put Sheamus and Apollo Crews. For just giving the crowd a come down a little bit.
Regardless, it was going to die, whatever you put in here.
Yeah, regardless of whatever you put in here, it wasn't going to be something the crowd would be in. So, again, why would you put a title belt in here? I don't get it. But anyway, okay, before we talk about the match itself, Titus O'Neil had a weird mouth kiss with his son. I know the internet's blowing up about this.
I don't want to get thrown off the air.
It was kind of shocking. It was weird.
Shocking. It's just something you don't see every day. I mean, people do it, I guess, but like, I don't.
I don't either. I mean, it's weird.
I can count on one hand how many times my father's actually like kissed me on the mouth once I passed like 9, and like it's not something you see a lot outside of Europe, because Europe's very different. They're way more physically affectionate with family members, which is fine. I'm not knocking that. I'm not saying it's weird.
No.
It was just really, I don't know, it was really jarring because the camera was really close. And I was like, oh.
And then okay. the other son, he just kisses on the forehead.
He's like, what's with the other son there, Titus?
Well, I think the one's his favorite son. the one's like, oh. He's the one I really like. He's the one that's going to go on and do things. You just get a kiss on the forehead. Stop failing at life. But anyway, it was a little bit of a shock in the system. I think jarring is the right word. It was just kind of like, oh, well, I haven't seen that in forever. But I don't really know what to say how to transition
from
that.
That's the whole match right here.
That is the whole match
is Titus kissing his kid.
That's the only thing to talk about.
The whole match was Titus kissed his son. Then Rusev yelled "Happy Father's Day," and Titus slapped.
You know what? I really liked when Rusev was like, "You see your father? He's a loser." Happy Father's Day. I had a good laugh at that. What a heel.
I'm surprised he didn't like kick one of them in the face or something.
I was hoping he'd like throw the one kid that got kissed on the ground.
Or maybe he kissed the son on the mouth.
There was a quick slap. Titus O'Neil's kid slapped Rusev on the chest, and people are saying, "Oh, that was a shoot." I mean, I don't know. Like, part of me believes that
he's a kid. He's a kid. Like, he just got mad and hit Rusev, and I'm sure Rusev barely felt it, considering that kid weighed all of 96 pounds.
Oh, that's generous.
Yeah, maybe 86 pounds.
But it was by submission. Once again, the accolade. Titus tapped out. It was just a match that happened. Technically wise, it wasn't like there wasn't a lot there. Again, Titus O'Neil can't really do a lot in the ring. He is definitely a physical specimen. But
and a great father.
And a great, fantastic father.
He can bark really loud.
Well, so can Trish Stratus.
Yeah, that's true. Forgot about that.
Oh, again, the go away quote from this entire match is "Happy Father's Day." Anyway,
Happy Father's Day.
Any more comments, Sean, Steve, or do you just want to go to the main event?
No, God, no.
All right, the main event was Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I like this match. I like the spear into the pedigree. I felt like maybe this match kind of demeaned or not demeaned, but like took a little bit away from the pedigree move because Seth had to hit it so many times. There were some spots here. I felt like this was a good match for, before I let you go, this was a good match for Seth because of his familiarity with Roman Reigns. Obviously these guys have some chemistry in the ring. There was a weird moment though. Seth was on the top rope, getting ready to do the flip over power bomb that he normally does.
It's called a sunset power bomb.
The sunset power bomb. And I saw hesitation there.
Oh, I don't know if that was.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I don't know if that was Seth or was put in the match for a reason. But
that was Seth.
Okay. Again, I felt like this was a good match for Seth, especially because he needed some familiarity here. To get back in the ring, but okay. So we'll go with Steve on this one. Steve, what'd you think?
I thought the match was pretty good. I didn't have any real complaints with it. But quick question, guys: who looked like the heel in the beginning of this match?
The Samoan guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Roman Reigns was the heel because he was walking over Seth Rollins on his hands and knees, talking a bunch of smack, and I was like, that's what faces do. Faces demean their opponent while they're on their hands and knees. I don't know.
No, you're right. He was working heel as well too in the beginning.
Yeah, because I mean, Rollins barely did any heelish stuff. Like he shoved Roman, but I mean, there's been plenty of faces that have been getting made mocked in the ring, and they've done much worse stuff than just shove their opponent. But yeah, I was convinced that Roman was the heel in this match.
Now, okay, before we go any actually, I'll let Sean get I'll get Sean's opinion, then I have a question I want to ask both of you. So, Sean, your opinion on this match?
I thought it was okay to good. Like you said, the pedigree spot with going into the spear was okay. My only complaint is that that should have been the finish. That shouldn't have been. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't have had to do that and then hit another pedigree. It just weakens the pedigree at that point.
Hold on, really. I just want to input that. Not only did you just say that, but a guy on Facebook that I'm friends with, that I work with at my job, he said the same thing. He said it feels like the finishers are just being like they're worthless. Like you hit a finisher and then you have to hit it again to get Reigns down. It's like no, you only need to do it like once or twice, not five times. Like it just feels like they have
finisher.
To keep hitting. Yeah,
it's a finisher.
Well, for some reason, in big matches, they just like to do multiple finishers. And I mean, the one thing is that maybe they could say like, oh, he didn't get all of it because it was a little sloppy looking.
Yeah, he didn't get the one.
It's very difficult to have someone in
from a spear
in Roman Reigns' position have him actually go into a pedigree motion with the arms up and everything. It's difficult. I understand that, but if you're gonna do that spot. To me, it's very similar to the spot they did with Rollins and Orton at WrestleMania with the RKO. That ended the match. I feel like this should have ended the match as well. As far as the match as a whole, like you were saying, Steve, Reigns definitely was working as a heel for at least the first half of it. It was okay. I can't say there was anything standout from the match. I felt like it was a little long, to be honest with you. And Rollins does his best to try to compensate for that, but sometimes some of the Reigns matches, especially like towards the middle of them, where it's just like Reigns is just
not doing anything.
He's just sitting there, you know, or laying there, not doing anything. Then I don't know. To me, that's just not really exciting. I don't really want to see that.
You said the match felt long. This was the longest match on the card. This was 26 minutes.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I don't know. It was just okay. I felt like maybe they could have a better match in the future if they ever do.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it wasn't the worst thing ever.
Yeah, to that point, I think, you know, Reigns can get better in the ring. I think this was a match to get Seth back into ring shape. Or not ring shape, I should say, get his confidence back. Because I believe...
He's been working house shows.
But aside from the house shows, he didn't wrestle on TV at all.
No, which
that,
is
right?
Which is smart. They shouldn't have done that. And that's another thing. People didn't mention how Cena. That was his first match back too.
I don't think people care that much about John Cena. Again, like kudos to him for getting back in the ring, being able to do some of the things that he's been able to do.
I mean,
but at the same time, it's like
Rollins looked fine, and I'm sure he was in decent enough ring shape. He had been working house shows for the last couple of weeks, so I'm sure he was fine.
He looked really good. I know there was the opening. I know they cut to him early in the show where he was backstage taping up his wrists, and he looked good. And I was like, yeah.
Oh, I bet he did.
Seth looks good tonight. But, okay, so my question is, with Reigns working heel – and Rollins working babyface, despite their TV characters. If anything, it's who do you think's making this call? Because it's throwing us mixed messages, and do you think it's doing that for a reason, Sean?
I can only imagine it's probably whoever was the agent on this match, or maybe it was Reigns himself who brought up the idea. I don't know, but.
Well, this is the first time he's worked heel in a match. Like he was working a little bit of heel on TV with the Styles feud. If you remember that,
yeah, kind of. It was. I mean, you're talking more promo wise. I'm talking in ring. But I don't know. It definitely was approved by someone. I don't know who. I don't work for the company. I don't know.
Steve, don't think Vince at all or anyone like that or.
If anybody, no. I don't think Vince will want him to work heel at all. He wants Reigns to usher in this new era. Like he's his guy. He wants him to be a face no matter what. I think Roman might have just called an audible. Just kind of did what he was feeling.
Mm-hmm. Now, this question's to both of you. Do you think he's working a little better as a heel in the ring?
No. I mean, yeah, it suits his character more, definitely. But it's not like working a certain style, whether it be a heel or babyface, makes you a better worker. I mean, working as a heel can kind of hide things a bit, but I wouldn't say it's going to help him in ring. He's still kind of limited.
And Steve, same thing.
I tend to agree with Sean. Like, even if he changed his character and stuff, he'd still be like a lower than average wrestler. He's just like, he's almost got the John Cena syndrome. And John Cena's improved, don't get me wrong, but Cena was Captain Five Moves of Doom there for a while, and he still is to a point. But
I also think
that's just what it feels like to me.
I think there is a little, like, there's a wall between the Reigns and Cena comparison that we can't ignore is the fact that Cena actually, I do believe deep down inside, Cena cares what the fans think. Like, I'm not going to take that away from him. I think Cena does genuinely care what every, and not just the Cena fans, the kids. I think he cares what the adults think to a point where it's just like he's tired of getting booed and he wants to try and work towards not being booed anymore without sacrificing being a face.
I think anyone wants to be a good worker in the ring. It's not like people go out there, unless you're named Kevin Nash, out there and specifically don't want to work. You know?
But like when I say that, I mean like Cena's gone out and he's learned new moves. Like he's starting to expand his repertoire a little bit.
Yeah, he brought back that second
rope stunner.
Yeah.
But it was like, what is he doing? But I think like the desire to get better with Cena is there versus Reigns. I think Reigns doesn't have the same desire that Cena has to be better. I think Reigns is just kind of like, the fans don't like me, whatever. I see that. I'm not, maybe that's not true. Maybe that's me making a very brass statement as I've made in the past. But
more than likely.
To me, that's just what I see. So Rollins wins and becomes the WWE World Heavyweight Champion for all of probably about 3 minutes.
And then Raw comes.
Then we hear generic guitar riff.
He's a Raw guy. Don't.
Then we hear Dean Ambrose's music hit. And I loved how Rollins immediately turned to the ramp and the camera went on the ramp and everyone was looking at the ramp. But Ambrose ran out behind him, got in the ring. The blindside hit, which that entire moment fit his character so well, cashed in, and now Dean Ambrose is your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Yep, he brought the title back to Raw.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of that? It was all of 9 seconds.
Well, let me tell you, Benny, me and Steve were texting during the show, and it was before the Money in the Bank match. I was figuring out how the card was being placed together, and around the AJ Cena match, I texted Steve and I went, they're really doing this Money in the Bank match late. And that kind of tipped off a little bit because I was like, well, they've been teasing this Ambrose thing with the cash in. He's obviously a favorite to win the Money in the Bank match. And I said to Steve, I guess an hour and a half before the match even happened, I would not be shocked if Ambrose cashes in at the end of the match and becomes champion. And Steve, you can back me up on this.
You totally did.
And that's exactly what happened.
Sean called it. Sean called it.
I mean, Dean Ambrose called it on Raw.
Yeah, I mean, they basically told us. Like, we're Sting stupid. We should have noticed that that's what was going to happen.
In our defense, though, they've done stuff like this in the past where they were like, oh, here's the guy you really like. He could be champion. He's just never champion. Like, for instance, Cesaro. Like Cesaro, I believe.
No, it's more like, I think what you mean to say is like they've been so on the nose before that they're going to do something and then they do the complete opposite to swerve us.
Or they do the thing that we expected all along, the thing that we just don't want the entire time. Like, oh, Reigns is going to be Triple H. Reigns is going to be Triple H. Reigns is going to be Triple H. Reigns be Triple H. Like, they've done stuff like that before, and it's just like, you know, this is different though.
They flat out told us this is what's going to happen, and we were and we didn't believe it because we were like,
we know you, WWE. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do it. And they did it. And it was nice to finally kind of get our way for once, if I can say, because it does feel like this Ambrose winning felt like a collective victory in a way. Did it not?
We brought the title back. Now Derek doesn't have any title.
I was really happy. I mean, I really like Dean Ambrose. I was genuinely happy to see him win it because I feel like he's a guy that deserves it. He's really underrated. And
yeah, you're right.
I'm glad to see him champion.
Again, I want to ask you, Sean. It definitely felt like for once the fans finally won. Did it not?
He's a babyface, and everyone's been clamoring for a Dean Ambrose title run. So, yeah, I would say so.
And I think that's the ending of a show we wanted for a very long time, and we got a lot in this show. I mean, if you look at the card as it sits, you know, we got a Dean Ambrose winning the Money in the Bank. We got AJ Styles beating John Cena, something I never thought I'd ever say. And we have Seth Rollins beating Roman Reigns. Which, if you ended it right there, that would have been enough. But they went above and beyond, and they had Dean Ambrose beat Seth Rollins.
It's the biggest Money in the Bank pay-per-view ever.
It's the WrestleMania of Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Which leads me to my next question. So, Steve and Sean, was this better than 2011?
No.
Is there anything that can ever top 2011?
I mean, sure, but this wasn't it.
I mean, people have argued that overall on the card there were some better things, but
are you asking if this is at least the second best Money in the Bank show?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. It's hard to say because like. The Money in the Bank shows have never been like amazingly great. Like, I mean, last year was pretty damn good too.
When did they start making it its own pay per view? Was that 2010?
Yeah.
So it's only had six other shows to compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, again, it's difficult to do that.
Well, I mean, like I said, last year was good. You had Ambrose and Rollins ladder match. You had the Money in the Bank last year was good too. Money in the Bank ladder match. You had Cena and Owens. It was a good card last year, you know, and some good matches on there. So I guess, you know, that would be in contention too. I mean, the first Money in the Bank pay-per-view was pretty good too. Now I'm trying to think of what else was on these shows. I don't know. Let's just move along.
Okay. Well, that does it for talking about the pay-per-view itself. We're now going to talk about a big issue in the world of wrestling. That was the following night on Raw. Was it Raw that we found out that Reigns was suspended?
No, it was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday. Raw goes through. Reigns doesn't do too much. And then we get the news Tuesday. Roman Reigns violates the wellness policy, and of course, then all of a sudden we're starting to believe. Oh, is it this? Is it that? Is it drugs? Is it something else like that? But in one day, Roman Reigns granted more wishes than John Cena has his entire Make-A-Wish career. It really felt like
Benny,
things can't get any better.
What is this Make-A-Wish thing?
That is, John Cena does the Make-A-Wish Foundation, doesn't he?
What does that have to do with Roman Reigns?
Well, there's a meme out there. There's a meme out there with, it's a picture of Roman Reigns, and it's a picture of John Cena, and John Cena making a wish. And it's like, John Cena has made so many wishes come true. Roman Reigns in one day made X amount of wishes come true. And it's the number for Roman Reigns is bigger than the number for John Cena. I thought that was funny.
By getting suspended because no one wants to see him. I guess I kind of get that.
Oh, that's
not
funny.
It's in poor taste. That's not funny. You say it's not funny, but it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. But I have to say that it's a shame. What happened is a shame, but at the same time, this is kind of a long time coming. I feel like for the fans.
Whoa.
Well, no. Well, in terms of karma, this is kind of a long time coming for the WWE.
Benny, I have a serious question to ask you.
Yeah.
Did Roman Reigns do something to you?
No.
Did he like assault your family or something? Because single time that we talk about Roman Reigns on the show, you always attack him as a person. And I'm like, what?
I probably shouldn't.
And I'm like, what do you have against him? Like, did he?
I get frustrated with this guy. Like, we're talking about a guy that in multiple interviews and as documented by WWE Walt Culture, multiple interviews he has not said good things about
Benny,
the fans.
What did I tell you about Walt Culture?
Sometimes they assume. But also, like, this is the most blatant, like, corporate wants to push this guy move. And I think that's why I hold a little bit of animosity towards it. Because there's guys in this card, there's guys on the roster that deserve more than what Reigns has gotten.
But,
and it's frustrating.
But that doesn't mean you have to go after him as a person.
I don't, and I probably shouldn't. But I've noticed this for many weeks. It's just frustration.
And I feel like I need to say something because
it's just frustration.
Because
like, I want to like the guy, but it's just like, dude,
I don't know about that.
You're making me angry.
There is some deep-seated hatred between you and Roman Reigns, and I don't know why.
It's because he's boring.
Well, he can make me boring, but that doesn't mean you have to assault them as a person. Am I the only one here? Like, please, listeners, contact us. Tell us, have you noticed that Benny just insults the character and the person of Roman Reigns? Prove me right. I am not crazy here. I know what I've been hearing, and this has been every time. Every time.
He defames Joe NOI.
Yeah, I go right after him. I'm going after him harder now that I found out he's half Italian. I didn't know he was half Italian.
Do you like him a little more now?
No! How do you have no charisma and you're Italian? That doesn't make any sense! How do you have zero charisma? How do you deliver a promo with the enthusiasm of someone going in for a colonoscopy? Like, come on, you're Italian! Where's the spunk?
Now, Benny, I know you're Italian. You don't need to talk up your people, okay?
No. I don't need to, but it's just like, come on. Like, represent! I mean, come on.
Benny, I don't know if we should ever talk about Roman Reigns ever again. You just seem too biased.
Benny's like JBL for heels.
Biased, come on.
Benny's like JBL for heels.
I beg you, be unbiased.
I shall try. I can't. I mean, I won't make any guarantees, but I shall try. But okay, I want your opinion on the suspension. When you first heard it, what was your reaction?
I'm glad I didn't hear from you. It would have sounded like he committed murder or something. I mean it's a bad look for the company, especially considering he's the guy that they're pushing as the top guy. And you know, we don't know what he did. We probably will never know what he did unless he decides to tell us, and I don't think he will. It would be foolish of him. It would be Sting stupid of him to do. So I mean, he's going to serve his suspension. He'll be back for the pay-per-view. My question is, they knew this the whole time. They knew it since Money in the Bank. Rumors say that that's why they dropped the title, and that's why he was pinned as opposed to Ambrose just cashing in during the match. Which actually, that would have been better of a cash in because it would have been the exact same cash in that Rollins did at WrestleMania, but against the two of them, it would have made more story sense. But regardless, my question is, if they knew that this was going to happen and they could have dug themselves out of the hole and did an injury angle with Roman Reigns on Monday, have him be out for 30 days, and then he comes back at the pay-per-view. Instead, they don't even do anything with him. They put him in the triple threat match, and they're forced to, on the next Monday, say that he made a mistake. That's the thing. That's their big buzz term, that he made a mistake. That's all. They didn't say that he was suspended. They didn't say that he violated the wellness policy. He made a mistake. I don't know what that mistake is. Maybe he parallel parked wrong. I don't know. But he made a mistake. Well, and
that was
that's
the other thing is, I know the wellness policy is very vague. So just trying to understand, like, what exactly could get you a violation of it?
Oh, I mean, there's multiple things. I mean,
like, I know Steve said it before. Like, you can get popped for, like, not paying your car insurance in time.
Where have you heard that from?
You can get. I was reading this thing on online that just like, as if you don't take care of your personal life, you can get popped for that. Like, if you don't keep your affairs in order, like if you owe money to like taxes or stuff, or if you don't pay shit and things like that, you can get popped for it.
That just doesn't seem right. That sounds fishy to me. Well, I don't.
I know the vagueness of the wellness policy in and of itself, and also, and again, we're just going to talk about this rumor. It's rumored by, I believe Dave Meltzer reported it, that Triple H made him apologize to the locker room. I don't know if I buy into that I want to buy into it, but I don't know if I buy into that at all. But at the same time, like, I like to believe where there's smoke, there's a little bit of fire. So, like, if it's nothing serious, then why did he have to apologize? And we know that there's a lot you can get popped on. It leads us to believe that maybe it was something major, especially because if it was something small, maybe he doesn't lose his championship. You know,
no, he lost his championship because I mean, he may have been losing it anyway. We don't know, but because it was 30-day suspension,
mm-hmm.
You know, first offense. It's more than likely it's probably because he took something. But we don't know what that thing is. That's mm-hmm. the problem. We just don't know what it is. It could be anything. It could be a hormone that he was taking. It could be something worse. It could be as simple as a dietary supplement. And I mean, this happens to UFC fighters all the time. They take a dietary supplement and there's something in it that's on the banned substance list that they don't realize is in this thing that you can just buy over the mm-hmm. counter at a store, and then they get popped for it. I mean, you never really know.
Now, there was also a rumor that surfaced probably about a month ago, probably right around the time of Extreme Rules, if I'm correct. The story popped up on CageSider. Again, don't know if I'm going to put as much stock into this as I should, but it was believed, or it was rumored, that a WWE insider had said that they saw that Roman Reigns had failed the wellness policy back around Extreme Rules. The WWE had known about it at that point. Let it kind of happen and let it get to this point. I don't know if I buy into that.
Really? I haven't heard that at all.
It was a quick story on CageSider. I'll dig it up while we're talking. But again, I don't know if I buy into it being like an injury. If anything, I think it might be something like, maybe, I mean, we know the guy's pretty big, so maybe he takes like a couple of like dietary pills or something like that, and that happened. I'm having trouble finding it here. It's probably buried pretty deep.
Or it doesn't exist.
No, it exists. Let me see this wellness policy.
Well, I just want to point out Roman Reigns not on the Raw roster. Derek, you're welcome. You can you have your guy suspended for 30 days, and you lost the title. So have fun with that.
really quickly, do you want to talk about you want to talk about some of our drafts? You want to hit on that real quick?
What about it?
So what did you think of, I guess we'll start with do you want to start with Steve's, or do you want to start with mine? Because you can tear apart mine if you like.
Well, Benny, I haven't, I don't know who you drafted, because the episode hasn't come out and no one else knows either.
Yes.
However, Steve, you and Jobo did a draft.
Yeah, he did.
And I'm sorry, Steve, but I think I have to give the nod to Jobo as having the better roster.
Okay.
I mean, you have a good roster. Don't get me wrong. My only question is why the Wyatt family number one?
Because I have a personal bias because I like them.
Oh, just like how Benny has a personal bias against Roman Reigns.
Yeah, but except mine's just the opposite. It's like a positive bias, not a negative one.
Okay, that makes sense.
I can't find this story, but I was shocked by the Wyatt pick as well. But when you look back at it, I mean, you're getting a superstar in Bray Wyatt, a guy that was going to go top three in almost any other mock draft. So you can't fault it there. Plus, you get bang for your buck in Rowan, Harper, and as much as we don't like him, Braun Strowman. But I don't argue the pick. It was just kind of surprising. But what else do you have to say about it?
I got the Shield, too, so I was happy with that.
Yeah, that's true. You did. You also, for some reason, picked the Ascension pretty high.
Hey, I like the Ascension. I don't care what anybody says.
I'm just saying, I think you could have gotten them at a discount price.
Probably could have.
Yeah, I don't think you had to give up a pick too quick for that one. I don't know. I mean, I just looking at it here. I mean, both rosters are good, but if gun to my head, I had to pick, I'd probably go Jobo's roster. And Jobo's roster has a lot of guys on Raw too, so I'm a little biased there too.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true.
So, that's all I got to say.
Alrighty. I just want to point out. I just found this out. John Cena has wrestled at every single Money in the Bank pay per view, and he has won four and lost three times.
That is really random.
Random as hell, but I just kind of noticed that. I'm looking
what's his win-loss record?
4-3.
That's interesting.
500.
Considering there's only been six shows.
Wait a second. Now he lost 2010. Hold on. Oh, wait, no. Four.
Do you have a personal bias against John Cena?
I don't. I don't mind him.
John Cena.
Oh, no, it's four and it's one, two. I think I might be looking at the same one twice. Oh, God, that's bad. Anyway.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, check the group chat.
Oh, I saw it. I wasn't going to say anything. We can't reference that on this show.
No, we cannot reference that on this show.
There's been more than six. Because 2010, 2011, 2012, 13, 14, 15, 16. There's been seven.
Wow.
So I'm right. So, Sean, you're wrong. I win. Oh, my God.
Benny, what was your record at WrestleMania?
Stop. Oh. Okay, that's it.
Oh.
What? We're going to end the show on that.
Yeah, Benny's going to get out of it getting good.
Anyway, before Steve sends us another picture of of Baron Corbin's stomach. Oh, wait, what's this? No,
we can't mention the last photo. That's not the story that we need to talk about.
Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at the BNP Express. Woo woo! Coming up next, we're probably going to be talking about sports. We have a little bit of ways to go before we talk about Battleground, but we'll probably be talking a sports podcast in between there. But Steve, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Saiyan Barbarian, S-A-I-Y-A-N Barbarian. And if you like, you can follow me on Instagram at EinherJar1991. EinherJar1991.
And last, we get to Sean. But Sean, you have an announcement to make.
Do I?
Dun, 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 dun. Someone cue Apollo Crews' theme music. Dun, 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 dun.
Do you, Sean?
I don't know. I don't know if plugs is the right place to put this.
Well, do you want to save this announcement for another time? Do you want to hype it up?
Eh, screw it. I'll just save it.
All right, where can they follow you?
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at @the_Brack Show.
All right, one last thing from all of us here at Blah Blah Sports. Hope you have a very safe and responsible 4th of July, and don't do any Julius, what was it? What was the guy for the, what was the guy? For? Oh, Jason Pierre-Paul for the Giants that blew off his hand. Yeah, don't do any of that, so. Good night, everybody. We'll be talking to you later.